Welcome to IndieWire's Filmmaker Toolkit podcast. I'm Jim Hemphill, features writer for craft and special projects at IndieWire. I probably shouldn't play favorites here at Filmmaker Toolkit, but if you're a dedicated reader of IndieWire's craft coverage, you already know that I think Babylon is the great American film of 2022, and that I view the talent of its writer-director Damien Chazelle with a mix of intense admiration and possibly even more intense envy. Babylon is a movie informed by not only the filmmaking of the silent era that it lovingly recreates, but by bold auteurist pop epics like Boogie Nights, Shortcuts, and The Wolf of Wall Street. But as Godard said, it's not where you take it from, it's where you take it to. And what Chazelle has done in Babylon is synthesized his influences into the greatest film ever made about what Hollywood really does to the people who make movies, what it gives them, and what it takes away. I'm very excited to welcome Damien Chazelle to talk about his terrific movie. So thanks for doing this.
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
I guess, before we get into the filmmaking component, I have a writing question, which is, I know you were, in one form or another, either formally or informally, researching this movie for years, collecting information about the silent film era. And I'm curious how you start to find a shape for all that, because there are thousands of stories you could tell, thinking about the Kevin Brownlow books and, everything that I'm assuming you probably used as research material for this. So at what point do you start thinking, I've got a story to tell about this, and how do you find that dramatic shape?
It's a good question, because it was kind of a back and forth process, I would say, where, there'd be kernels in my mind of a dramatic shape I wanted, and then you sort of go into the history and try to see if you can co-opt the history to fit that dramatic shape. And then sometimes the history will let you do that, and sometimes it won't. It'll, push back a bit, and then you maybe alter the dramatic shape to sort of fit things you're finding in the history. And it sort of went back and forth like that. I mean, it might have been why it took longer than, say, other scripts I've written. It had to kind of go through this sort of morphing process, I guess. I remember certain things that were there right from the get-go. Those would probably be based on just very broad strokes, things I knew from the era. The rough arc of what wound up being Brad Pitt's character, I'd say, was one of the earliest kind of anchors in my mind. The idea of that beyond his character, there would be this kind of ensemble sort of approach to the story, roughly the year range that the story would cover. Obviously, the silent to sound transition. All those things were sort of there at the outset. And then, it just wound up being a process, a sort of a prolonged process of reading, marinating, trying to write, failing to write, going back, reading, marinating, doing other movies, coming back to this. And so that's, all the sort of details of it sort of filled themselves in that way. And in terms of the reading, yeah, I'd say it was a mix of history, sort of history type research, and then very much like more just, I guess, trying to capture the spirit of the time, which I found even more evoked in, for instance, a lot of fiction from the period or just after the period, like that the sort of almost as kind of like, the dark side of LA novels that sort of you find in the, kind of the end of the 20s, and especially the 30s, Raymond Chandler stuff, Nathaniel West, books like Ask the Dust, things like that, where you just sort of got a feeling of the grittier side of the sort of people on the margins of high society in Los Angeles trying to get in, the desperation of Los Angeles, but also the feeling of LA at that time where you could still smell the orange trees, you could still occasionally see sort of dust on the streets, it still had a little bit of that edge of the desert cowtown feeling, even though it was rapidly becoming something very different, becoming the sort of major metropolis, but you still felt its roots in a more rural time. So, it was sort of a mix of that, and then Kevin Brownlow and all his, especially the interviews he did, both filmed interviews and compiled in his books. And then again, less historically, but I'd have to tip my hat to Kenneth Anger, which is probably obvious to anyone who's read Hollywood Babylon. There's a lot of that in this. Where do you place that? It's somewhere in between history and fiction, I guess, right? You know, which is a little bit the feeling I wanted this movie to have too. I wanted everything in it as much as possible to be grounded in some kind of fact, but I would say it's a fact that's been funneled through what oral histories do, like, is, you know, real incidents become amplified as they become told over and over again, and they become urban legends, and rumors take on a life of their own, and suddenly you have this kind of mix of sort of concrete journalism and tabloid and, you know, verifiable fact and embellished sort of self-serving anecdote, and I kind of find that all part of the stew of early Hollywood. Part of what's fascinating about it. So I guess it's a long way of saying that, you know, certainly there were a lot of aspects in the movie that were intentionally embellished and sort of amplified, but the spirit of that was, again, inspired by, at least for me, by stuff from the period.
Well, and I'm curious why you chose to have Irving Thalberg be the one guy, I mean, maybe there were others that I'm just unaware of, but to me he was the one guy who stood out, who was actually a real person, whereas the other people you're kind of doing the Dirk Diggler versus John Holmes kind of thing.
Totally. You know. Yeah. It's kind of a, in some ways, sort of a dull reason. It was